Father, we do thank you so much, Lord, that you sent Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord, for that blood that was shed. Lord, for me, for each of us. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that when we admit who we are, as you have said in your word over and over, that all have sinned and fall short of your glory, that there are none righteous, no, not one. And Lord, that when we admit it, Lord, we thank you that we can go straight to you, Jesus, and we can find that our guilt has been removed and our sin has been atoned for, and that you shed your blood, Lord, and that it's flowed over each of us, Lord, that we could have forgiveness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you that your word is living and that you speak through it. And that, Lord, that here in America that we can have a copy of your word, Lord, your living word, more like a phone than a book, that if we just want to hear from you, Lord, all we have to do is go to it and that you speak. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word and, Lord, that you'd give us your message. Lord, get me out of the way and give your message to your people, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to look at a message today I've entitled, Jesus Was Where? Jesus Was Where? Jesus, that's the reaction that he was getting in this instance that we're going to look at in just a moment. And I've thought of examples of it. I've heard of examples of it. John Allen had the privilege of going to a youth camp one time with Mark Cahill as the speaker, and he was a great basketball player for Auburn at one time, but now he's pretty much just an evangelist, and he just shares the Word of God with everybody he can, and he just preaches the good news everywhere he can to everybody he can come in contact with. And I've heard him speak before, Heritage Baptist Church here, maybe a year or two ago. They've been doing something where they've invited different people, and I've heard him there. But one thing that stood out to me that I heard might have been something that John Allen had heard him say, but was that sometimes one of the things that he may do is just go into a bar and start talking to people and start talking to people about the Lord, because that's his purpose. That's his purpose, to share the Word. Am I right in that, John Allen? That he would even go there. And so, of course, if somebody saw him, of course, they may ask that question. Mark Cahill was where? Did you see him go in there? Did you see him come out? We've recently had an acquaintance, a friend of someone in our family, and we had heard that, we had no idea, we had heard that a young lady's mother was a psychic that we know. So as I began to drive by this place day after day, many, many times, I would notice her car there, or cars of the family there. And I was in prayer a lot about this, and my kids were too. And sometimes I would think, well, maybe I should go there. And I'd just pray about it, you know, Lord, should I go in there and just go in and talk with her? But of course, you know, there was always the thought and the issue, well, you know, as believers, we're always supposed to avoid the very appearance of evil. You know, what if I walk right into this place and people know I'm a pastor, and different people, and I don't have time to explain to anybody, different people see me, a pastor, going into a psychic place? Well, what would that could hurt their walk with the Lord? And of course, I didn't do it, but if I had done it, I guess some people may have asked that question. Derek was where? You saw him go into a psychic place. And And then I've thought about it at different times with the Kingdom Hall, you know. I saw some Jehovah's Witnesses earlier this week, and I've had that thought before, you know, when I've gotten to know maybe Jehovah's Witnesses before. I wonder if I should go over there to the Kingdom Hall and see if I can somehow talk in there or something. And of course, that question would be asked if someone went in there. Any of you here, you saw Neil where? You saw Mary Frank where? You, the Kingdom Hall. And, you know, of course, Rosh Hashanah was just celebrated this past Wednesday. You think about, you know, believer going into synagogue and, you know, can we share there? Could we share the word of the Lord there and help Jews who are not believing see the Messiah like all the Messianic Jews who believe? And so you think about that question, and this is what some people were asking of Jesus at this time. Jesus was where? And turn with me and let's look at it. It's in Matthew 9. It's in Mark and Luke too, but let's look at Matthew 9 because that's where we are in our His Word for You readings in your worship bulletin there. But look at Matthew 9. And let's see, you know, even though some were asking why Jesus was there, even though the question of some were Jesus was where, even though that was in the heart of some people, you know, the answer is, he was in the center of the Father's will. That's where he was. It might not have looked right to certain individuals, to certain people, but I'll tell you where he was, and Scripture attests, and we all know, being perfect and sinless, we all know exactly where he was. He was in the center of the Father's will. That's where he was. And so if you, let's learn from this, what we're about to read, and if you want to be in the center of his will, of the Father's will, of Jesus' will, if you want to be in the center of His will, and if you want to be in His presence, living in Christ, in His presence, seeing Him work in amazing ways, if you want to live there, in the center of His will, in His presence, then answer some of these questions that we're about to look at. If you want to live in His will and in the center of His presence as He did, then answer some of these questions that we see in Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. Now, Jesus has just healed this paralytic, and then He's going on from there. And it says in verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, He told him. And Matthew got up and followed Him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Him and His disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." If you want to be in the center of His will and in His presence, then answer some questions. First of all, answer this question. Have you heard His call? Have you heard His call? Look at the first part of verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me. You see, Matthew, this sinner as he was known to those around him, that was not a favorable position or job at all. Tax collectors were despised, especially by the Jews. They were collecting taxes for the Roman government, and they were Jewish agents who were collecting these taxes for the Roman government, so their own people were very displeased with them, and not to mention the dishonest practices. So he was despised, a tax collector. But not to Jesus. He wasn't despised by Jesus. as Jesus went on from there, he saw Matthew. He saw a man named Matthew. And Mark and Luke mention his name, Levi. Jesus saw him, Matthew, sitting in the tax collector's booth. And this was probably like a toll booth on a busy road there. And so Jesus sees him and Jesus calls him. Jesus sees this sinner that everybody despises and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." If you want to be in his will, if you want to live in his presence, have you heard his call? Matthew heard it. Matthew was busy with what he was doing, but he heard Jesus. He recognized Jesus and he heard, "Follow me." He heard Jesus calling him to follow. Matthew heard him. Have you heard his call? I heard the call of the air conditioner breaking the other day. Joan's smiling. Joan knows this. I got a call from Allison, and I heard that the air conditioner was calling to be fixed because the house was very hot and the air conditioner had broken. And you know that that would not be a favorable situation right here where we live for very long. We didn't sleep well that night. And what was that? That air conditioner was calling to be fixed. And we all felt it and we all knew it. And we were able to get it fixed very, very quickly. Those air conditioner guys, they know how you feel about it too. And they just knocked it out in one day. And they put the new furnace in there and, you know, did all that. But I heard the call of the air conditioner breaking. Have you heard his call? I bet you hear the call of the tornado sirens when they go off. I don't remember when it was, not too long ago, the recent past. I remember hearing those tornado sirens go off. And then I bet you hear that call. I bet you hear the call when the tornado sirens are going off. I bet you hear the call of WSFA Storm Center coming up on your TV or if you have a phone on your app or whatever saying, "Take cover, get in your safe place. Now is the time." You can just see Rich Thomas saying it. "Now is the time to get in your safe place. Go get there right now." You know what happened just north of us not too long ago. And so you may hear that call of the sirens. But there's a more urgent call than that. The call of Jesus to you. There's a more urgent call. Jesus speaking to you, saying, "Follow me." Have you heard that call? Have you heard his call? Maybe different things are coming up in your mind right now. And maybe you're remembering somebody and you just thought it was some annoying person, but they were trying to give you this message. And you wonder, was that Jesus' call? Maybe you read something and Jesus was calling you, "Follow me." I don't know how you've heard it. Maybe there was a message that you heard. Maybe there's something in you right now, something in your spirit. And you know right now, maybe he's calling you now. Maybe you're hearing Jesus in this message at this time saying, "Follow me." Have you heard his call? You might be hearing it for the first time, or you may already know him and have responded to his call, and maybe you hear his daily call like I hear it every day. I know every day he's telling me, "Follow me, Derek, follow me, follow me," and that he wants me every day to deny myself and take up my cross daily, he said, and follow me every day. Maybe you hear it as a believer every day, but maybe you're hearing it for the first time today. Oh, be careful. It's more serious than a tornado warning. It's more serious than a tornado warning. Because apart from him, if we don't heed his call, if we don't respond to his call, and if we miss it, And you can't just come to him when you want. Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him. So when you're hearing his call, when you're hearing Jesus say, follow me, that's the time to respond. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can't muster it up and decide, well, you know, I think I'll come to him in about 3 days. No, you can't come to him unless he's calling you. Nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him. So when you hear it, it's like a tornado warning. And it is a warning because if we die apart from responding to that call, we spend eternity in hell paying for our sins that will never end. Torment, as Jesus said, gnashing of teeth, weeping and torment, where the worm does not die. We spend eternity there if we miss his call. Have you heard his call? Well, if you want to live in the center of his will, if you want to be in his presence, then answer that question. Have I heard his call? And answer this question. How have you responded? If you heard his call, how have you responded? Or if you're hearing his call right now, how are you responding in your heart? You see, here's how Matthew responded. Look at the last part of verse 9. Jesus said, follow me. It says, he told him, follow me, he told him, Jesus told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. That's how Matthew responded. In one of the other Gospels, it says that he got up and left everything and followed him. That's what Matthew did. He knew Jesus was calling him. He knew Jesus was saying, follow me. He knew that was his time. He heard it. And he got up and he left everything. He was at his job, his tax collector. It says that he left everything. He left his job and everything, and he followed Jesus. How have you responded to his call? Well, I hope you're wise enough to get in that safe place, but when you hear the tornado warning going off and you hear Rich Thomas saying, now's the time to get in your safe place, I hope you're wise enough to heed that call, and I hope you go there. I might overdo it. Sometimes my family doesn't want to go. But I'll be trying to get us in that bathroom and have the pillows all around us. But we respond to that tornado call if we're wise. How have you responded to his call? Well, have you responded like Matthew? Matthew left everything and followed him. It was total commitment. When he heard Jesus saying, follow me, he was like, wholeheartedly, I'm leaving everything. I'm all yours, Jesus. And he left. He left everything and followed him. That's the way to respond to Jesus. When you hear him call you and he says, follow me, that's it. Leave everything and follow him. Put him first above everything. It's total commitment. Christian has been really enjoying skateboarding lately, and I've taken him to the Montgomery Skate Park. It's downtown by across from the Renaissance. Maybe you've seen it. And for those of you who don't know anything about skating, there's something called a half pipe, and it just looks like it's just a platform up here and a platform up here. I hope everybody can see me. Platform up here, platform up here. And then it's just a half circle in here. It's called a half pipe. Come to think of it, I guess it's half of a pipe. Yeah, okay. So it's called a half pipe. So it's like this, and you get up here on your skateboard, and it's called dropping in. And you get on that skateboard up here, and then you drop in, and you go. Well, you know what? We've been learning about drop in. I had to pull it up and do YouTube. You know, how do you drop in? You know, because Kristen's trying to learn that. But what it is here's the edge of the ramp right here, and you take your skateboard, and you put all the wheels off of the ramp, and you just put your foot on the back of it. And then you have your board up high in the air like this, and you have just a cliff below you. And to drop in, you actually have to fully commit or you'll never do it. You have to be very brave, and you have to slam it down and make those wheels hit that almost 90-degree angle. Make those wheels hit, and you got to lean that way with it. So you totally commit. And if you totally commit, then you'll do it. And in case you couldn't see over here, the board is off like this, and you're up in the air, and you slam down, and you totally commit. And where all the mistakes are made is people are too timid and they try to just barely go down and you just fall every time. And we were talking to a real good skater there, and that was what he was saying. You got to totally commit. It's total trust. That's what Jesus requires when he says, follow me. He wants you to 100% commit, leave everything. It's just all or nothing. It's him. It's all him. Anything else is half-hearted. It's not true discipleship. Jesus said, if anybody loves father or mother, brother, sister, children, wife, more than me, he is not worthy of me, and he cannot be my disciple. If he does not take up his cross and give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple. It's total commitment. When he says, follow me, he's giving him everything. How have you responded? If you want to live in the center of his presence, in the center of his will, answer those questions. Have you heard his call? And then, how have you responded to his call? Have you given everything? And next, how have you served him? How have you served him? If you want to live in the center of your will, his will, ask yourself that question. How have I served him? Look at verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Well, here's what happened with Matthew. Matthew heard his call, and then he responded by leaving everything, 100%, dropping in, total commitment, left everything to follow Jesus. And then what's the next thing he did? He served him. We learned from the other Gospels, he actually invited Jesus over to his house for a banquet. He threw a banquet for Jesus and invited others. He threw a banquet for Jesus. What was that all about? Well, he had just given his life to this one, and he loved Jesus. And when you love Jesus, you want to serve him. When you love somebody, you want to do for them, don't you? When you love them, you want to express your love, and you want to say, hey, what can I do for you? Can I do something for you? Well, that's what Matthew was doing. He gave his life to Jesus, and then he was simply in an expression of love, saying, Jesus, let me throw a banquet for you. Come to my house. Let me invite all these people. I want to have a banquet for you. And so he served Jesus, and he invited all his friends over to just all focus on Jesus. For Matthew, his coming to the Lord, it wasn't just fire insurance. Matthew didn't just hear Jesus say, follow me, and think, you know, I don't want to go to hell. I'm just going to give up everything and follow him. No, it wasn't just that. It was much more than that. It was a commitment of, I give you everything, Jesus. I give up everything, and I love you. Let me throw a banquet for you at my house. Let me invite all my friends. They need to meet you just like I've met you. When he calls you to follow him and you give up everything and you follow him, hopefully you've got that love in your heart and you want to throw a banquet for him and you want to invite everybody over and say, you guys got to meet my Jesus. You got to meet him. Just come and hear about him. Let's get together at my house and we'll center everything upon Jesus and we'll get in his word, and I want you guys to all see him. I want to invite you to meet him. That's what happens in the last year in the Billy Graham thing. I think it was about this, getting friends together and saying, hey, let's meet Jesus. You got to see this video by Billy Graham, and I want you to meet my Jesus. That's what it's about. Well, when you love him, then you want to serve him. You want to serve him. It was so beautiful. Some of you probably read about it in my article, but, J.R., I keep on using you in my messages, but J.R. had recently just really started following the Lord. That's what I've seen anyway, just him totally leaving everything, just following Jesus. I got a voicemail from him not too long ago, and This is pretty much what he was saying. He was saying, you know what, I want to show my love to the Lord. I just love the Lord and I want to serve him. And could I come and just power wash the front of the church and just, you know, just clean his house, make his house look all nice? What was that? That was just love for Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love what you're doing in my life. I just want to serve you. How have you served him? You can have a banquet for him. You can make him the center of attention. You could have something revolving all around him like Matthew did, a Bible study. You could do one for your neighbors and start one in your home. You could start one in your workplace. And don't say you couldn't. You got to find a person to pray. You pray about it first. Then you got to find it. Follow all of Jesus' instructions. And come to me. I'd love to talk with you about it and show you what Jesus says about that kind of thing. But you got to find a person of peace in that workplace and start praying about it. And you don't know what God will do. He could very well open the door. Not during the work, I was at a lunchtime or before work or after work, but how are you serving him? The Jesus you love, wherever you go, wherever you work, wherever you frequent, do you love him enough to say, you know what, I want to just throw a banquet for you, Jesus. Let's have a Bible study. Let's just focus everything around you, and I'll invite all my friends or all these people around this place, and we'll just see what you do, Lord. We can do that. And don't believe the lie. If you're getting up in years, don't ever sit back and believe that lie. Well, you know what? I've served in my day. I've served my time. I've served the Lord. And, you know, not much I can do now. Oh, don't ever say that. I used to be a hospice chaplain, and I've seen people laying in their bed dying, serving the Lord. Just being a bright, shining light and praying like an incredible prayer warrior for everybody around them, probably doing more work than many people who are active and walking around are doing for the Lord. You can always serve the Lord. As long as you have breath, the Lord wants you serving him in some way like Matthew. Like Matthew. You're never too old. And that's what it's all about once we come to know him. Just read 1 Corinthians 12, read Romans 12, read Ephesians 4. You'll find that God says that by His Spirit He's given gifts to every believer for service. And that it's the job of the elder or the overseer, the pastor, somebody like me or anybody else on ministerial staff. It's our job to equip the saints, that's you all, to do the work of the ministry. Every saint, every believer has a ministry God wants them doing, and He's gifted them to do a ministry. So we're all to be like Matthew, serving in some way his body. Well, how are you doing that? How am I doing that? Well, if you want to be in his presence and in the center of his will, then answer those questions. Have you heard his call? How have you responded? How have you served him? Or how are you serving him? And if you need help with a way you're trying to figure out how to serve him, come talk to me and your Bible study leader, the three of us need to get together. We'll help you. And next, answer this question. Do you eat with sinners? Do you eat with sinners? Look at the second part of 10 and 11. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Do you eat with sinners? Jesus did. Jesus did. You know, if we're not careful, you know, what Matthew did here was, you know, he had all these friends that were just sinners, the worst sinners of the day. He had all these friends, and what did he invited them all? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. People who are not living for the Lord, people who are sinners, need Jesus. And so, are we willing to be with them? Are we willing to spend time with them? If we're not careful, we can be a believer and we can just have only Christian circles. We can just have, I come to church, I go to my Bible study group, and everybody I know is a Christian. And we need to invite the sinners. Do you eat with sinners? If we see a group, we don't need to stay away. We need to go in there if we see a group of sinners. Sometimes I was... as a hospice chaplain, sometimes just the job would take me into a home where there was just very sinful lifestyles, a home of people that had no idea who the Lord was, just all living in sin. But you know what? That was a good place to be. That was a good place to be. I used to love working in the French Quarter in New Orleans because I believed that I was a bright, shining light in darkness. And wherever there's darkness, that's where the light shines the brightest. And so don't avoid sinners. We need to be with them. You've got the answer they need. You've got the cure for the worse than cancer thing that they're dying of. You've got it. You've got to be with them to get it to them. Freely you have given, freely give. Freely you've been given, give. Do you eat with sinners? And finally, do you admit you are one? Do you admit you are one? Look at verses 12 and 13. Well, the so-called righteous people, the very religious people of the day, were saying, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" They had the Christian bubble mentality. We are only to be with strong believers so we can continue to grow together. You know, why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that the healthy, those who, if anybody was righteous and perfect, then they don't need a Savior. Nobody needs a Savior. If you're perfect and you are living life perfectly and you're the perfect person, you don't need a Savior. The healthy don't need a doctor, but the sick. It's the sinners who need a Savior, anybody who is a sinner. And Jesus tells them, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And I'll tell you what I think it means, but it's a mystery. You know, you need to pray yourself and you seek out what it means. Jesus was telling them this, you know, you go and learn what this means. So I'm not going to say I got the, I've got it down. But I'll tell you what the Lord speaks to me when I read it. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I think he's saying, me as the Lord, as your God, I desire mercy. I would rather give mercy to people than have their sacrifices. That's who I am as God. I know everybody's a sinner. I've already said that in my word. There are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I know from God's perspective, I think God sees it as, I know everybody is a sinner. Everybody is on their way to hell. Everybody's deserving of hell. But I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know what? I think God desires to have mercy on sinners. He knows you're a sinner. I think he just wants you to come to him and admit it and say, Lord, I am a sinner. You're right. Have mercy on me. And he desires to give mercy, not sacrifice. He doesn't want a bunch of sinners out here going and saying, you know what, I'm going to become righteous. Let me go and I'll do 10,000 good works and then I'll come to you, God, and I'll say, hey, is it enough? Do I look, here's all my sacrifices for you. Do I look right in your sight? Is everything okay? No, you're still a sinner. The only way to me is through Jesus. It's what he did. Your job is just to admit that you're a sinner. Do you admit that you are one? And then Jesus said, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So for anybody who thinks they're righteous or thinks they're good enough to get to heaven, then Jesus didn't come for them. I don't want to be in that category. I'll go ahead and admit it. If you're having trouble admitting you're a sinner, you probably just don't understand what sin is. Because there's no telling how many times a day I sin. There's no telling how many times a day I'm so tired of just crying out for mercy. Lord, I'm sorry. Have mercy. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have. And if you think you don't have any sin and you're doing really good, one of your biggest sins might be something God really hates, and that's pride. Maybe just start there and say, God, I think maybe I'm prideful because I don't think I'm very sinful. Just start there. But he's a Savior for sinners. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus. I want Jesus, so I'm going to admit I'm a sinner. So if you want to live in His presence, in the center of His will, then answer those questions. Let's pray them out. Father, we just ask that You'd help us, Lord. If there's anybody here who is hearing Your call today, Lord, help them to leave everything. Help them to respond like Matthew. Leave everything and say, Jesus, I'm Yours. I'm following You. I totally give my life to You. And Lord, help us all to serve You in love like Matthew, Lord. For any believer, any person who has come to You, Lord, Lord, please put it in our hearts to say, Lord, thank You for what You've done for me. How can I serve You? What can I do for You? And then, Lord, let us find our area of service and ministry. And Lord, let us do it in love for You. And Lord, help us to eat with sinners. Lord, help us to see all those around us that need You and go to them. And go to them and spend time with them and bring them to You, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit. Lord, and Lord, help us to all admit that we're just like them. We were all there at one time. And that we're no better. We just have Jesus. And He who has the Son has life. And he who doesn't have the Son does not have life. Help us to get You, get the Son to everybody around us, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if the Lord is calling you right now, just like He did Matthew, and saying, follow Me, if you're hearing that, now's the time. Today's the day of salvation. If you know He's calling you, come now. Come now. Give Him everything. Give up everything you have and follow Him. You don't know if it's not up to you. He said, nobody can come to Me, Jesus said, unless the Father draws him. So if He's calling you right now, come. Come now. You don't know if you'll have another chance. And so you do that if He's calling, if Jesus is calling you to follow Him. Maybe He's calling you to something else. Maybe He's calling you to join this church, saying, I want you to, this is your church home. You know, you can't serve in a place unless you're a member of the people, the congregation. Well, we know, just like Matthew, we need to serve. He's gifted us to serve Him. Well, you got to join a church before you're going to serve. And if He wants you serving, well, first things first. If He's calling you to this place, you listen for His voice, then you can come and join when Chris leads us in this song. But whatever He's telling you to do, you do it as Chris leads us.